Amen. I'm going to hand out the bit that I'm preaching from at the end, but not right now, so you're not distracted. But if you want to look it up in your own Bible, that's fine. We're in Matthew, and we are looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And specifically, Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. But I just want to put this in context for you to start with. The Sermon on the Mount, it's three chapters of Matthew, from 5 to 7, and this is Jesus's most radical bits of teaching. This is him being most countercultural, most extreme. Now, thinking about religious extremism, we often think, with that term, we think about Muslims. And what's his name, Carr? Not Alan Carr, the other one. The comedian that has that really funny laugh and looks really cheesy. Jimmy Carr, that's it. Thank you. I knew his name yesterday. Jimmy Carr, I saw him tell this joke. He was on QI and it was brilliant. He said, I don't understand people, though, messing with Muslims. Because, well, you know, if you're going to mess with some religious group, you want to mess with Christians, because what are they going to do? Forgive you to death? And I was like, yes, he's so got it. He totally understands Christianity right there. And in fact, if you look up on the internet, Christian extremism, actually you get a bunch of people who call themselves Christians. They're not being Christians at all. They're being violent. That's not Christian extremism. Christian extremism is following the Sermon on the Mount completely, you know, and to the letter, because it's so extreme, the things Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just get them so I don't misquote. So in Matthew 5, he starts with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay, I can see that one. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are you when you're persecuted because of righteousness. Those are all kind of, well, most of them at least, are all kind of, oh, that's not really very blessed, is it? Those things, you know, being poor in spirit does not sound like something that's very blessed. And he talks about other things, so like murder. So he takes the Jewish law, where they started, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and he takes it so much further and says, forgive your enemy, love your enemy, in fact, bless those who persecute you. And about murder, he says, that okay, yeah, you've been told not to murder, but now I'm saying, don't be hateful. If you hate someone, that's as bad as murdering them. If you say, you're an idiot, that's as bad as murdering someone. And then he talks about adultery as well, and says that actually lust is as bad as adultery. This is like way above. He's massively raising the standard on righteousness. And then he keeps on going, and he's lots of different things about prayer, fasting, treasures in heaven, do not store up treasures on earth, do not worry, we're going to do that one in a sec. And then he almost finishes off with, do not judge. That made me laugh when I was reading it, because it's like, if you could do all those other things out of your own strength, how self-righteous would you be feeling? You would definitely be feeling like judging everyone else, wouldn't you? Yeah, you know. So he—that's like really properly godly. You're not even, you're going to do all these things. You're going to love those who hate you, and you're going to—and you're not going to be lustful or hateful, and you're also not going to judge other people. And you know, it's just like, wow, he's really extreme in this, in the Sermon on the Mount. He's really being an extremist. So let's read the bit we're going to look at today. I will read it to you, rather. It's quite long, but don't worry. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown on the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Before I get onto the serious bit, I made myself laugh because I recorded this. So I was practicing, you know, and I watched it back. And I'd read that bit wrong about do not worry about what we shall eat. And I'd actually said where we shall eat and where we shall drink. And afterwards I thought, oh, gosh, first world problems. But yeah, okay. So I really struggled, as Dave says, when I started trying to prepare this, because, particularly because he asked me to talk about faith and worrying. And I am a worrier, and so I felt quite condemned by being of little faith because I'm a worrier. Which is odd, because in the past I've only ever felt comforted by these verses, because, well, we'll come on to that in a bit. And so I was wrestling with this, and I was praying, and I was saying, Jesus, why did you write that? Why did you write that? It's like, it's a bit like saying, don't worry, you know. And if you're sharing your worries with someone, and they say, don't worry, it's really unhelpful, isn't it? That what they're doing is minimizing it, because they're not worried about that, you shouldn't be worried about that, you know. And it's a little bit like, you know, if you're getting really cross and someone says, calm down, no one has ever reacted to that by saying, oh, thank you for that, I'm really calm now. And don't worry is a really similarly unhelpful thing to say, isn't it? And so I was like, oh Lord, why do you want me to preach on that when that's a really unhelpful thing to say? Until I realised all of a sudden that it matters who says it. So if it was just someone who doesn't care about you very much, or someone who can't do anything to help you, then that's really unhelpful. But if it's someone who has the power to fix your problem, and someone who cares enough to come and help you fix your problem or whatever, then that's a really helpful thing to say. Don't worry, I'm on my way, I'm coming. You know, that's, then you can maybe stop worrying. Do you know what I mean? So, in this, the person who's saying it is your Father in heaven. Jesus is not minimizing these things. So food and clothing are really important stuff. And he was talking to people who lived in a subsistence economy, who, you know, they were farmers mostly, or fishermen. Day by day, and you know, they had no refrigeration, day by day they had to get their food. That, you know, our Father in heaven, give us today our daily bread. It was a daily worry for them, certainly a daily concern, a daily thing they had to work at. You know, and those are in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, they're right at the bottom. Food, clothing, shelter. If you're in a survival situation, the thing you need first is warmth. You've got a few days to get water. You've got like 3 days before you die of dehydration. So warmth first, then water, then food. These are really important things. And Jesus was not saying that they're not important. What he was saying is that you are so much more important. And he, in this little bit I've just read out, he uses the birds of the air and the grass in the field as a how much more important are you than those things. And of course we're much more important than that. But then in the next chapter, in Matthew 7, verse 11, he uses the example of our own children. Now, our own children are really important. They're really precious. And he says, basically, when you give things to your children, you are even more important than that. How much more? So, you know, think about how much you love your children, how important they are to you. You are so much more important again than that to me, to God. It's one of those lovely how much mores of God, which I love. So it matters who is saying it, and it's God who's saying it. It's your Father in heaven who knows you need these things. And he is, you know, sometimes you start a sentence and you think, where am I going with that sentence? it's your Father in heaven that knows you need these things. He cares about these things. He is going to provide. It's a promise. He's not minimizing it, saying, don't worry about it, it's not important. He's saying, it's really important, but you are more important and I care for you lots and I can provide for you. So really, really important. Coming on to thinking about how I felt about feeling guilty about having little faith. Now, it's really interesting. I'm not going to get you to fess up about this, put your hand up. But if you're one of those people who, like me, would feel guilty about having little faith or feel judged because, oh, I'm worrying, therefore I have little faith, then we need to look at the next bit in the Bible is when Jesus is saying, do not judge. And I really believe he's also saying, do not judge yourself. God is the judge, and what will he do with the fact that we have little faith? If we come to him and say, oh, I'm of little faith, I am like the dirt, you know, then what's he going to say? He's going to say, I'm so glad you came to me about that. I'm totally ready, just forgiven you already. Look, see, done. And I am ready to give you that faith. And I am ready to walk with you and be, you know, well, let's go on from here. That's great that you came to me. That's how God deals with that. Keep thinking about this song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And all that. And there's a brilliant bit in it. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Yeah. So even being of little faith is what we need to carry to God in prayer. And it's important because it's all about our relationship with God. So if God says to you, do not worry, and you say, I'm still worrying, then what you're doing is you're not trusting God with that thing that you're worrying about. And I think that's why Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, because in this case, I think we can put faith and trust together as being the same thing. And if you imagine trusting God with the things that you're worrying about, then you can imagine yourself like the psalmist in Psalm 131, where they're like a weaned child sitting on their mother's lap. You know, when you see a child sitting on a parent's lap and they're just really content and they are calm and quiet and they know that they're loved, they know that they are safe, they know that they are provided for, and they've got that peace. That's what God wants for us. And that's why he says, don't worry. Come to me. I've got it. I've got you. Come to me and do not worry. Because I want you to have that peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. I want you to have that freedom. He wants us to be free from fear. These are the important things. So, faith is important for our relationship with God. We looked at last week a little bit at how without faith it's impossible to please God. I would add to that, without faith it's impossible to rely on God. Yeah? So it's about our relationship with God, but it's also about our well-being right now and being free from those things of worry and stuff. So this is good. This is good news. And what we're going to do now is get into small groups and have 15 minutes, something like that, to chat and ask each other these questions that we have here about what we've just thought about, because I bet everybody will have experienced those thoughts in a different way, and it would be great to get each other's feedback. So, an input. So, I help me. I don't know what are we going to do now. How are we going to organise?